are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can only You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening. Sorry about that. Let me clear my throat. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is Friday, living for the weekend. And I know this is a Mother's Day weekend, so hope you have some preparations planned to honor your mother in a special way, because mother is the foundation. And I know for those whose mothers are deceased, it's still a very memorable and special day to remember the beauty of your mother and what she did for you. So enjoy this weekend, enjoy this Sunday. I know at Cafe Ulu we have a special program for the mothers, and hope it all is going to be well with you this weekend and on Sunday for Mother's Day. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But hold on, let me backtrack, because I want you to understand. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, better do, can do, will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it isn't, and if you can't, I understand, especially if you're living in the southern section of this country, which is taking a pounding. I mean, it's taking a pounding. All throughout the midsection of this country, there's floods, levees and rivers overflowing their banks for days, now weeks, more rain in store. So I'm praying for those men and women and children and adults and elders and so forth that even though their property might be lost, long as their lives are not lost. So anyway, now, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or any other time around the world. But if 9 to 11 Mountain, oh, 8 to 10 Pacific. Let me get on track here. Let me get on track. Maybe I slept too well. There are other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, once again, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is my program. But immediately following my program on Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with your host, Franklin Jones. Every Monday and Wednesday, his two inaugural programs this past Monday and Wednesday were outstanding, and look forward to listening to my dear brother every Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix. Mondays as well, in the evenings from 6 to 8, is Acres of Diamonds, public affairs program out of Philadelphia. And then right after Acres of Diamonds is We Buy Black 365. We Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 had an outstanding program this past Tuesday, and I hope that he continues. And then on Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. Excuse me again. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy from 7 p.m. On Friday, today is Friday. If the day is Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it will be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So check them out this evening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., once again, it will be time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com, the largest market, largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. And if you are in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here right off of Georgia Highway 166. Can't miss it. And so you can check them out at WeBuyBlack.com and the kiosk they have in the Greenbrier Mall. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahimba, call him at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429, and he will be going to Ghana this month, May 22nd to June 4th, 14-day trip. They're only $3,700. You can't beat that price. That is really good. And if you didn't get a chance to do it this time, there'll be other chances. He's going to Cape Town, South Africa, as well as Johannesburg, flying to Johannesburg, and Cape Town, November 22nd to December 2nd. And then he's also going to Ghana again. So if you didn't make this trip in May, you might want to make the trip in December, December 24th to January 4th, 2020. And give him a call at 404-931-9429. And if you want to see pictures of the previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of the previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of Black Madonna. Get everything you need at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have clothes. They have furniture, artwork, art effects. They have the red, black, and green shoes. They have Kwanzaa kits. They also have an African Holocaust Museum to make you understand clearly that you are in the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and on Sunday from 1 to 3. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. They also have a history course every Saturday, Black History course of Know Thyself, every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. And they also have, if you can't make that and you like to get information, you like to know more about yourself, they have a multimedia library that you can purchase, the most extensive cultural library of its kind with over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. So you need to check that out at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other bookstores in the Atlanta area, and I'm sorry for you if you don't have a bookstore in your area, find one, locate one. If it's not in your area, hopefully it'll be someplace where you can access it. I hope that it happens, that you can access it, you know, because we need knowledge, brothers and sisters. We need information, you know, more so than we need to be entertained. And so another bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall is the Meddu Bookstore. Meddu means writings. There's a word that goes after Meddu, and that is Netcher. The Meddu Netcher, which is the Greeks called hieroglyphs on the walls of the temples and tombs and on papyri. It is called Meddu Netcher, the writings of the gods. And so check out the Meddu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, which is right by the We Buy Black kiosk. So check it out. Also, too, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, Brother Kazimde Ajamu. And the number to call is 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107, and that is in Lithonia. I will be doing a program on the 24th of February, the 24th of May, Friday, May 24th at 7 p.m. at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. The presentation is our Journey to Historical Greatness, an African Perspective. And so it is free and open to the public. Hope that you will attend if you're in that area. It is in Lithonia, and it's 6984 Main Street, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. And the number to call, once again, is 404-519-8107. Come out and check some of the bookstore, some of the books he has. Also, he has the red, black, and green shoes. That's got shoes. He has them right there. Hopefully, your size is right there. You can pick them up when you come check out the presentation. Make that happen. Us lifting us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. On Thursdays, they had their radio broadcast last night, the ULU Thursday night broadcast at 9 p.m., and the number to call is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And Baba Kambizi and Baba Thurman did an outstanding job, and Baba Kambizi talked about the importance of the American diet and how destructive it is and other things that are happening here in America. It was a good program. Of course, Us Lifting Us is an economic development cooperative where we pull our monies together to provide goods and services and jobs for our people. And one of the first things we have done is develop Cafe ULU. Cafe ULU, located here in Atlanta at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan, right off once again, 166, Georgia 166, near Interstate I-75 and I-85. So it's an easy way to get to Cafe ULU. And it opened Tuesday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we have coffee. That's right, we have coffee. One of my favorite coffees is Cameroon Boyo, delicious coffee. Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopia, where coffee started. We have Nicaraguan, Burundi. I saw some Burundi up there. I mean, we have coffee. You know, if you like different types of coffee instead of the same dark roast blend or whatever it might be, or, you know, medium blend or whatever. No, we have coffee from different parts of Africa and the world. We also have loose teas, and everything at Cafe ULU is produced by us. Everything is produced by us. We don't sell nobody else's stuff but us, but ours, African people, American African people. So support a Cafe ULU. Go online, cafeulu.com. Check it out and buy some coffee. And more importantly, if you're in the Atlanta area, stop by. This Sunday, we will have the Mother's Day event this Sunday, and we look forward to that. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Also, to another product we have at Cafe ULU is Ambrosia, Brother Nick Novak Young's delicious vitality drink. Ambrosia has a new product coming out. We want to sell, promote that product as well. Tonight, well, there's a free meet and greet and book signing tonight at Wadada's, which is located in the West End, located 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, right across the street from the West End Mall on Abernathy. And Dr. Layla Africa will be here this weekend. Tonight he'll be at 7:30. And then tomorrow, 7 p.m., the state of black health in America. The seminar starts. So check that out. And then, of course, Juneteenth Day, June 14th, 15th, and 16th. And more about Juneteenth that as it approaches, I'll get the director of Juneteenth Day and have a sit-down conversation with him. And we look forward to making it happen on Juneteenth Day, one of the largest Juneteenth Day celebrations, although it's not celebrated on June 19th. But they utilize that weekend that is closest to that date, and it is a beautiful affair. Akabin House, Akabin Institute, once again, will continue to promote them because they need your support. So make checks and money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. If you want to use a donation to give to Cash App or PayPal, the $ YAAMBARUTI Baruti. MBaruti. And then check, you know, make that happen for Akabin House and Akabin Institute. Inye Sesem, the daily revolutionary sayings. Yesterday was the 9th, today is the 10th. A very good one from yesterday, but Franz Fanon, and a very good one today as well. May 9th, a warrior without a war wars on self. Franz Fanon. Warriors who do not know they are at war, who do not know that they are the first line of defense against their people's enemies, confuse their people with the enemy. Warriors unaware that they should always be prepared for any attack or are ill prepared for battle. Warriors who feel secure are fools who die without cause. Warriors unwilling to die for any righteous cause have no right to the title of warrior. Warriors blindly embracing a life's philosophy of nonviolence against consciously violent enemies deserve destruction. Warriors who are incapable of speaking to enemies in a language that they can understand should never be allowed to speak for their people. Warriors without ma'at can only pretend respect for family. Warriors who have not fully grasped the self-defining, independent qualities of nation building have yet to visualize freedom. Warriors without excuse me. I'm getting over a cold when I came. As soon as I got back from the motherland, I ain't kidding. As soon as I got back that Sunday, that next day, I started to feel that money. I started to feel not too well. And even though I've battled it, but it still has some remnants. So, excuse me. Warriors without ma'at can only pretend respect for family. Warriors who have not fully grasped the self-defining independent qualities of nation building have yet to visualize freedom. Warriors without respect for each other senselessly commit suicide against each other. Warriors who confuse information with wisdom fall for ignorance as intelligence. Warriors who believe they can lose fail. Warriors whose deeds do not reflect their words are contradictory liabilities. Warriors still set on repeatedly using a tactic that has miserably failed should not be allowed to participate in strategic discussions. Warriors claiming to be warriors, but who do not understand the root word of warrior is war, are children at play. Warriors without patience rush toward a purposeless, unnecessary death. Affirm, my warriorhood is defined in knowing righteous terms of war. Affirm, my warriorhood is defined in knowing righteous terms of war. May 10th. Injustice doesn't have to occur to me personally, but I react personally and I'm compelled to do something about it, Rose Sanders. Some things will never be forgotten, and those events which are important for our historical remembrance, which cannot be wholly experienced, must be clearly visualized. As a spiritual experience, has in heartfelt reenacting the ritual and way of our ancestors that make us one with them. The so-called, I can't pronounce the African name, but the so-called Middle Passage and the whole of the Ma'afa, our great destruction, must be deeply felt vicariously in order to understand its impact on us here and now fully. To know that our ancestors suffered, all we have to do is think. Take a quiet moment to use our common African sense and imagine. All we have to do is close our eyes, go back there and fetch those memories. All we have to do is imagine what it would feel like as a deeply spiritual being to be dehumanized through rape, beatings, starvation, physical and psychological torture, dehydration, sensory deprivation, and coughless, which are the chains, trails of blood and tears are the chains that are used to keep each other attached. In dungeons, on filthy, suffocating death ships by brutal, vicious, sadistic, soulless aliens bent on world domination through violence, oppression at any cost. All we have to do is imagine the unimaginable. Affirm, I honor my ancestors. Affirm, I honor my ancestors. The Inye Sesim, a daily revolutionary thought. Oh, people, brothers and sisters, I hope everything was well for you today. I hope you had a going to have a good day and a good weekend. You got a lot of good things planned for, you know, Mother's Day, and you know, going to go to a lot of good places, visit and so forth, whatever. I know some of those brothers and sisters whose significant somebody, not necessarily significant other, but somebody significant to them in their family has a mother or aunt or a mother figure, you know, those are kind of tough. But understanding the importance of honoring the woman that gave us birth. Understand the importance of honoring the African mother. She's the one who birthed humanity. Although we got these crazy ass folks out here, as Leonard Jeffrey used to call them, the ice people, you know. But one of the things that Europeans, you know, I hope you understand how this human development has occurred. And of course, it's still, there are so-called missing links or missing ties that it brings it together. But I guess it's safe to say to some degree that life began in Central East Africa. They can't find any bones older than what is found in Central East. And believe me, they've tried, because who is the leaders in scientific inquiry but Europeans? And they wanted to believe that they were the human development of the best. They want to believe that they are the best human beings on the planet. They want to believe that really that they were the first people on the planet. They want to believe that who and what they are is superior to all others. And so they developed a mindset that, you know, when coming out of that so-called medieval and dark age, that whoever's going to run the world is going to be us. We're going to come together. We may war amongst ourselves, and believe me, we have, but we're going to come together on the issues of those who are outside of us. And we're going to dominate and control them. And so, given that unfortunate reality, they also believe that anything in the world, it is theirs. And they can determine that they can dismiss anybody who has brought anything or discredit them, and they can make it theirs. Cultural appropriation by Europeans is systemic because it is what they have done. And it is what they continue to do. Although I do have a piece here from the Atlanta Black Star on 10 times Caucasians were called out for cultural appropriations. It is the beginning of 26, January of 2016, but it is still appropriate. We'll deal with that. But there's an article that appeared in, I saw it on Facebook. Once again, I'm dragging stuff off of Facebook. But it was opinion, and that happened in January of last year, January 17th, 2018. And this appeared then, and it's called Caucasian Americans Love American African Culture, But Not American African People. And you know that's the truth. Since America's inception, America has always shown admiration for American African culture, but not so much for American African people. America has shown us over and over again they could care less about American African people as a collective. Cultural appropriation occurs when the style leads to a racist generalizations or racial stereotypes where it originated, but it is deemed high fashion, cool, or funny when the privileged take it for themselves. Read that again so you clearly know understand what cultural appropriation really is. Occurs when a style leads to a racist generalization or cultural stereotypes where it originated, but is deemed high fashion, cool, or funny when the privileged take it for themselves. And that who made that quote is Amanda Steinberg. Don't cash crop my cornrows. A crash course on American African culture from 2015. If you're a millennial and American African, you're likely to be a part of American African Twitter. American African Twitter
is an amazing group on social media, and we're the most influential movement on the internet. In fact, it gets a lot more of media attention. There are atrocities broadcasted through the constant dragging from American African Twitter. Let's take it back a little bit, shall we? Cultural appropriation was a hush-hush topic across all media platforms until mid-2010, when the then 16-year-old Hunger Games star Amanda Steenberg unloaded a video that she made for a first-class problem. The title is Don't Crash Cop, Don't Cash Crop My Cornrows, a crash course of American African culture. In this video, Steenberg pinpoints the importance of hair and the history of American African hair in our community, reaching back to the origins of Africa. She also calls out Caucasian artists Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, and Miley Cyrus for using American African culture to sell records and make money, mentioning the deaths of Tamir Rice, Eric Garner, via police brutality. She shows the people will appropriate our culture but not grieve over our deaths because most Caucasian people don't care. At the end of the video, Steenberg poses a question that started a social media conversation that ushered us into a new era of media, of social media confrontation. What would America be like if we loved African people as much as we love African culture? I was 18 when I came to my university, which is a PWI. I was a sophomore in 2015, and my journey to aiding my Africanness was a rout. I, along with many other people, haven't heard of the concept. It was in my face all the time, though. American African women have been stigmatized with the ghetto description for our hairstyles. Big hoop earrings, long nails, glossy lips, clothes, etc. All these things, however, are becoming a trend. Why do we praise Caucasian women when they imitate our culture? Let's be clear. Understand that we should not be praising fish for swimming. It's a beautiful thing that Caucasian people are down, but what about those that aren't so still appropriating African culture? Women like Kim Kardashian and their entire family love American African men and appropriate African culture, but do they really care about African lives? Of course, Kim Kardashian recently posted a Snapchat telling American African people to stop dragging Jeffree Star for his racist comments about where he called black women nigger bitches, and recently began to call beauty guru Jackie Anna a roach and things of that nature. What is mind-boggling to me is that Kim Kardashian has two African children, American African children, one being a girl. This hypocrisy is crazy because this happens a lot. These women fetishize American African men, hate American African women, and appropriate our culture. These women love our men but are still racist. These are the women that get celebrated for looking good in our fashion. The toleration for these cultural appropriating women and men needs to stop. It's not just Caucasian women who do it. Caucasian men are always listening to hip-hop, using American African vernacular, and are the majority of the crowd during hip-hop concerts. These are the same controlling men that, along with Caucasian women, uphold the privilege and the abuse of African people. My neighbors next door to me are Caucasian frat boys who support Trump but blast hip-hop every weekend. Africanness has been used as the butt of a joke for centuries. African people are not allowed to wear locks in the workplace or while seeking jobs because they are said to be unprofessional. Yet Caucasian people wear locks and is deemed edgy and trendy. African people are illegitimate and called ugly, yet Caucasian people go on a copy off of us and they get praised. Marc Jacobs is notorious for putting African styles on Caucasian women, then denying that the roots of these styles came from us and saying that it doesn't belong to African people. Please understand that the buying power of African people outweighs the buying power of any other demographic. We are giving the racist people our money, the money we struggle to get because they uphold their oppressive system. This is a huge thing in America to copy the American African styles and neglect African strife. Condoning the actions of these Caucasian people by buying their products and giving them a black card. These people take African culture and profit off of it. Asians use African culture as their counterculture, often rebelling against Chinese, Koreans, etc. culture. Koreans run the beauty supplies that American African people support, yet they follow us in the store. Hispanics are also prejudiced toward African people. George Lopez recently said, there are two things you don't do to a Mexican family. Park in front of our lawn and marry a black woman. No one says anything about it because he's Mexican. But had he been a Caucasian, it would have been a different story. Hispanic women disrespect American African women and our hair and our skin tones, calling us burnt and nappy-headed. Anti-Africanness is everywhere. Asians dominate the beauty supply industry, yet they hate American African people. This is a problem. I have come up with a solution, and a very easy one, a one that is right in your face right now, and that is buy African-owned products. People will spend $28 on Kylie's lips stuff, but won't buy a $30 lipstick from American African-owned company. Let's strive to support one another. African people are powerful. If we can change laws and strike upon amendments to the Constitution, we can rebuild our communities. It won't be easy, but I swear to you that it will be worth it because we are all we got. Rebuilding a American African Black Wall Street will take time and it won't be done in a day. But I implore all the readers to think about the question posed by Amanda St. Stanberg. What would America be like if we love African people as much as we love African culture? Well, that question doesn't need to be posed because they don't love us. They never have loved us. And they always appropriate it. I would suggest that when Europeans came into Africa, the Greeks, later the Romans, and all others, and now the whole idea of being Caucasian is what everybody wants to be. Everywhere there is dark people, they are relegated to the subservient and low economic rung of a society. It is global. Even where countries have sizable numbers of melanated or darker skinned people, you will not see them on television. You will not see them in magazines and newspapers. Even though they may be the majority, you will not see them. And I wonder, you know, why our leadership continues to try its best, or our misleadership, to try to appeal and believe that they can use moral persuasion, use any other avenue to try to make Caucasians respect our humanity and treat us with dignity and allow us to share in what the hell they stole in this wretched society. Allow us to equally. Some say we have equality. Some say that all you have to do, you as an individual, have the tenacity and the intestinal fortitude to work hard, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and you can be just as successful as anybody in America. That's what they tell you. All you got to do is, you know, think and really put that thought into practice, and it could happen. That's why I don't argue what an individual can do. I will never argue what an individual can do in a society that perpetuates individualism, because it would be foolish. It would be ludicrous to do that. There are people who have come here from a bad situation, and through whatever methods and means and connections or whatever was done, or the expansion of their ideas and on their mind, and have seeked their fortune, have overcome the obstacles, whatever they are. You see it all the time. I know you watch Facebook, go through Facebook and any other emails you might get talking about an individual who utilized their willingness to do whatever they have to do to educate themselves and to prepare themselves, and they've done well. And I don't care. It's just like I just seen about four or five pieces where some brother, young brother and sister who have been accepted to every college in this country and amassed millions of dollars in scholarship. I don't give a damn. Because I'm talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. And so in that definition, it means that we are doing for ourselves. We're not celebrating the fact that somebody got a scholarship. We're not celebrating the fact that somebody has joined the Fortune 500 company. We're not celebrating any damn thing that once again is the Europeans, is our enemy. That's the problem, of course, with us when you're in a society like this, because of all the things that you're bombarded with, the magazines, the newspapers, the television programs, the internet. You are bombarded 24/7, 365 with how great Europeans are and how terrible Africans are. Sometimes it is overt, it is right in your face, and of course sometimes it is covert. Whatever how insidious it is, it is there. And so for those of us who reject the idea of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a global phenomenon, we're able to step outside of those boundaries that they've imposed upon us to look at the European for who and what he is. We're able to release the vice grip that the Europeans has on the minds of African people globally. Globally. Because we have turned that knob at the end of the handle, which is the acquiring of knowledge of self and the belief in ourselves and each other, and understanding our true African heritage, our African beginnings, our love for Africa and African people, regardless how messed up it is. We release the vice grip. We reject European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and their privilege. We reject it. We think outside of it. And I know for a lot of our people that's very hard to do. I understand that, especially when you are bombarded, especially when you went to one of their schools. Maybe you didn't go to an ACBU, but even if you did go to an ACBU, you're getting the same education. Just, you know, maybe there might be some professors and some instructors who are African-centered and may give you a good perspective. I don't know. Maybe you came in contact with my good brothers at Howard, Brother Greg Kamathi Carr and Brother Mario Beatty. I don't know. Maybe you went to Morgan State and talked with Brother Ray Winbush and some other African-centered professors and educators. I don't know. But what I do know is that we have been constantly, seriously impacted by this system to the degree that it is extremely difficult for brothers and sisters to listen to the concepts of brothers and sisters like myself who are talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. You still trying to, you know, do the kumbaya. You still trying to, hopefully that they will have some sympathy and empathy, have some understanding of who and what they are and what they've done, and particularly what they've done to us, and will accept us as African. But no, it is not going to happen. It hasn't happened. It's not happening now, and it ain't going to happen. But yet we keep holding out hope. We keep hoping, wishing, and praying. The economic situation is so out of line, it would take 230 years for there would be economic equality. The economic inequality of this country is so damn bad, it is ridiculous. It doesn't even need to be discussed. And because we don't understand how important it is for us to be collective, we're only after about what's in it for me, how can I get mine, because you are bombarded 24/7 with the idea you are an individual. You're a Black American. And so you have the right to the access if you're chosen, if you're good enough. So you can move into a gated community that is called, I ain't talking about like here in Atlanta, because you got gated communities and cul-de-sacs and subdivisions that are all us. And I understand that's cool. But the reality is we live like Caucasians live. It's not an African community. There might be us there, but there's nothing that says that because everything looks like they want it to look. As European as possible. They ain't flying no red, black, and green except for Sister Jackie. Love Mama Jackie. Yep, she's flying the red, black, and green, you know. But you don't see that. And they don't want to see that. They don't want that. They want to, I arrive. I'm just as good as the Caucasians. Even though you will never be as good as them in their system. Because it's not designed for you to be that. Oh, it's designed to have a couple of y'all be a dark face in a high place just to give you the illusion of inclusion. But the fact of the matter is they believe in their system that everything is theirs. And so even though you're in the system and you're doing something that they like, they'll take it. It's theirs. It's their system. So the idea of cultural appropriation, I don't care about that. It's my culture. You ain't living in African culture. You're living in American African culture, which is a far different or Black culture, which is controlled by Europeans. It's controlled. So yes, they can take it. They can claim it as their own, really. Because they control it. Yeah, they control it. I pulled something from Atlanta, Black Star, on cultural appropriation. It is from December 2015 or January 2016, and some of the things that happened since that time. So it is dated, but just like the quote I read, and I'll continue to read it because I think it's profound. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling among ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we suffered heretofore. Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. He said that in the early 60s. You know, Ghana was one of the first countries to gain its independence from colonization from Europe, from the British in 57. Many of them started falling since that time in the 60s. And he proposed this then. And yet, the Europeans understood we cannot have African unity. I'm sorry. We cannot have African independence, solidarity. We cannot have it. We got to make sure that the boundaries that we made at the Berlin Conference of 1884-85 are adhered to. We got to maintain that these things also will have them fighting amongst them kids. We don't want Africans united. We need Africans to be divided. We don't want Africans in Ghana saying it is not about Ghana. It is about Africa. We don't want Africans in Nigeria saying the same thing in Cameroon and Zimbabwe and Botswana. No, we want them to say it is about us. And even within those countries, we want those other factions to think they're better than the others. We don't want that. Because the unity of Africa is a detriment to Europeans. When Africans unite, they realize the game that has been played. They realize the resources that have been taken. They realize the detriment on us as a people, as African people. We don't see it today because we are so individualistic. We don't care. Here in America, we don't care what happens to Africa. Here, even though a lot of us understand that Africa, the continent of Africa, is the most rich continent of resources on the planet. As Dr. Clark said, as you see when I end my program, Africa has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. They want to exploit Africa and Africans. When is it going to stop? Where is the leadership? Where is the statesmanship of men and women? This has to stop. All these divisions on the continent, all the brothers and sisters in the diaspora, all the things that we must come together. This should be the century. This has to be the century. But as you see, not just the misappropriations, but as you see how they are trying to eradicate us, eliminate us. We're going to take a break. When we come back from that break, we'll have more discussion. I'll go to the Atlanta Black Star and the 10 things, the 10 times Caucasians were called out for cultural appropriations. This is African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, brothers and sisters, and I hope that you'll continue to join us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Earth, Wind, and Fire from the Last Days in Time album, circa 72, 73, somewhere around there. And that is Mom, one of my favorite songs from Earth, Wind, and Fire. I bet you some of you haven't heard that in quite some time, or probably some of you probably never heard it. But that's a beautiful Mother's Day song, you know. And not to dispel any of the other Mother's Day songs, but I'm going to play it again Monday. Yeah, because it's a beautiful song, Mom. Other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, right after my program on Monday and Wednesday, is the Black People Matrix from 1 to 3. Monday evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, also from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, once again, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it is Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Getting back to this discussion, and there's, you know, you can go online to check out a lot of this information, of course. And I think what is important for us is to understand the depth of the people we're dealing with, but because we don't. We really don't. We really don't. We don't even understand that we have been warred upon. That's why Baba Rudy is so critical for us. Because he is constantly telling us, he is constantly educating our children, we are at war. There's a people who, I forgot to mention this. Let me go back. Always on Friday, I like to mention disaster awareness for community preparedness. I always must mention that. I apologize. My good friend, Brother Yosef Muhammad, and that is talking about, in fact, what better discussion to have and what's happening in the middle of this country and how to prepare for that. Disaster awareness for community preparedness on Blog Talk Radio from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, from 4 to 6. And the number to call to listen is 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. Disaster awareness for community preparedness. So, getting back to this, and of course you can join this conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Here are some of the examples of times when Caucasian people were called out for cultural appropriations. Of course, the case of Rachel Dolezal. You will remember Rachel Dolezal. She was a former NAACP chapter president, posed as an American African woman for her own personal satisfaction and gain. Even after her parents revealed her true identity, she refused to claim her Caucasianness. To this day, she identifies as an American African. And of course, you know, you can do that. Caucasians can do with any damn thing they want to do in their system. And so if that's what they want to do, just like the article I read in the first half of the program, they love the culture, they just don't love the people. They've always loved the culture. Oh, who remembers Wayne Cochran? Anybody remember Wayne Cochran? Wayne Cochran, look him up. Look up Wayne Cochran. And somebody give me a buzz. 215-490-9832. Look at the other Caucasians
from the 50s and 60s who took African music, American African music, and made it their own. Elvis Presley. Last movie I saw of his was Girls, Girls, Girls in the 60s, early 60s. Because when I saw that piece, it says, the only thing that a black person can do for me is shine my shoes and buy my records. Now, many say that he didn't say it. I don't give a damn if he said it or not. The reality of it is, I have one friend who said, well, you know, Elvis Presley, he gave somebody who worked for him in Graceland a Cadillac. So? It's just like this thing with, what's her name? Kardashian. You know, I just saw a piece where the real person who's doing this, she's getting the credit because she's the upfront person. But there's a sister, an attorney, that she is the one that is helping these sisters or these people who are in prison get out. You know. Iggy Azalea is co-opting. I'm okay, brothers and sisters. I just that it's unfortunate at this time I'm going through this. What a bad time to do this, huh? I'll say. Iggy Azalea, the female hip-hop artist, model, songwriter out of Australia, is best known for her chart-topping hit, Fancy. But she's also become notorious for insensitivity to the complexities of race relations or cultural relations and cultural appropriation. Salon writer Brittany Cooper critiqued Azalea's co-optation and appropriation of sonic Southern blackness, Africanness, particularly the sonic Africanness of Southern African women. Yeah. The fashion industry's appropriation of Bantu knots, you know, the Bantu knots in your hair, and they had the two Caucasian women here. Yet again, the fashion industry didn't fail to dismiss African contributions within an industry. Bantu knots have been served as a protective style for African women for centuries. However, Caucasian designers such as Marc Jacobs didn't feel it problematic to introduce it to the European fashion world as a new modern trend. Once again, they dictate, just like Caucasians who could get their hair curly, the perms that they had, not the straight hair stuff, but, you know, getting their hair curly and frizzly and so forth. You know, and it was interesting that one sister said, you know, they hate us because they ain't us. They hate us because they ain't us. You know, and they risk skin cancer, melanoma, by going out in the sun and trying to get their pale skin to be a little darker. Not way too dark, mind you now, not like this one Caucasian woman. God, is she ugly. Her skin is very wrinkly. It's dark. You know, she's darker than me. But, hey, yep. Stop this foolishness. Allure Magazine's Afro Tutorial. Back in August, Allure Magazine, a beauty publication mainly targeting young Caucasian women, featured a step-by-step tutorial that showed how to turn straight hair into a fro. But there was no mention of its cultural context. The model in the image was a Caucasian woman donning fro-textured hair. The heading read as follows. Yes, you can have a fro even if you have straight hair. Once again, this is theirs. They don't have to mention it. This is theirs. And there's that saying, possession is 9/10 of the law. I don't like it, but hey, since this is theirs, they can co-opt and appropriate whatever they want. If it makes money for them, if it's beneficial to them, they can do it. They can do whatever the hell they want to do. Yes, you can whine about it and cry about it. It's about all you can do. You might boycott and picket. So what?
The bottom line is, this is theirs, not ours. And in it, they do what they feel they want to do or have to do to maintain their position of being dominant and being in control and dictating whatever it is that they want to dictate in this society. Miley Cyrus, racial and cultural insensitivity, when she was at the 2015 MTV Music Video Awards. By now, Miley Cyrus is all too familiar with cultural appropriation criticism and outcry about her benefiting from the cavalier flaunting of American African culture. However, this year she acts even more blatant than ever. For instance, while hosting the 2015 TV Video Music Awards, the self-proclaimed twerk expert more dons and dreads and used them and used the term mammy. Surprised she didn't have a head rag on. Kylie Jenner's cultural appropriation on repeat. Kylie came under fire after images of her Teen Vogue covers story depicted her donning false locks. While the media rarely has anything nice to say about the style when worn by Africans or American Africans, the magazine described Kylie's dreads as edgy, raw, and beautiful, according to an article released by the Huffington Post. In addition, Jenner appeared on Instagram rocking the traditional African hairstyle of cornrows. Even after getting slammed for her cultural insensitivity, she continued to post more pictures of her hairdo. To make matters worse, back in the spring, the teenager posted two questionable Instagram pics of her wearing makeup of a very dark hue. Some felt as if the images were artistic and strikingly beautiful, while most accused Jenner of wearing blackface. And you could be the judge. I don't know what she looked like, and I don't give a damn. Baby hair, you know, little hair on at your edges. Baby hair was presented at Fashion Week. Whether we are born with them or we create them, the phenomenon of baby hair has always been an American African concept. Yet in 2015, the Givenchy Winter Fall Fashion Show showcased Caucasian models with baby hair and would appear to emulate tribal piercings. LAUK called baby hair a new trend and credited Katy Perry for inspiring it. Boy, this is blackface here for show. Blackface at Fashion Week. During Milan Fashion Week, Claudio had Caucasian models walk down the runway in what appeared to be a rendition of blackface. While the designer claimed that the concept was inspired by the artwork of Emilio Isgro, most of us weren't buying it. At the end of the day, the show bore a striking resemblance to the minstrels of the past that aimed to appropriate their false understanding of American African culture. Once again, they dictated. They dictated. If you go back and look at movies, in fact, when movies first started coming out, of course, the depiction of African people, there were never any depict. That's why Oscar Michaud had to make films about African people, American African people, in a dignified or more, because all the stuff that came out. And of course, the big thing was The Birth of a Nation, not The Birth of a Nation, the story of Nat Turner. No, The Birth of a Nation, of the birth of the Ku Klux Klan. And the importance of Caucasians controlling, the importance of Caucasian controlling this society, legislatively, judicially, executively, militarily, economically. I could go on and on. And you are just in it. just shut the hell up and go along. Yeah. Taylor Swift's Wild Dream music video. Earlier this year, Taylor Swift released a video for her song Wild Dreams, which was filmed in Africa. The music video was problematic for many people because it had an almost all blonde, all Caucasian cast. It also depicted a Caucasian love story set during the time in history when Africans were colonized by Europeans. Spike TV's Tut. Spike TV released King Tut's story this past summer, and when the trailer of the film debuted, many American African individuals understandably felt insulted. The so-called diverse cast encompassed a small number of American African people, or African people, though scholars have proven that ancient Kemet, what the Greeks called Egypt, was an African culture time and time again. Spike TV chose to continue the practice of attributing Africa to Europeans by whitewashing it. It is deeply problematic. But that's it. It is deeply problematic because, you know, I've mentioned many times before, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, and along with Dr. Thelafili Obenga, at the symposium in Cairo, in Egypt, in Kemet, when everybody came, it should have been a once and for all discussion, or if you want to say debate or whatever, of who the ancient Egyptians were. It should have been settled. It, to me, it was settled right then and there by Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop and Dr. Thelafili Obenga. Obenga was a linguistic. He tied the linguistic piece together. And Diop tied because he was a chemist. He was a scientist along with a historian, archaeologist. He tied the connection. And his smoking gun was the melanin dosage test. He could extract the melanin from the mummies and tell you how much was in there to prove that they were African, to prove that they were dark. He said, I have 10 methods to prove this. The debate was won. UNESCO wrote the history of African people in 2 volumes. The debate was won over 40 some years ago, but still today, because the European, the Caucasian, suffers from cognitive dissonance. He also has the idea of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, hegemony or hegemony. I don't know which word, how you want to pronounce that. But what it is this. The crackers say, what's mine is mine's, and what's yours is mine's. So he took that. He claims that because in ancient world, that is the height and the apex of high culture. More, although he uses Greece because that is Caucasian. But how many thousands of years did Greece come along after the height of Kemet and then later Rome? And both of those cultures are deficient as hell. Oh, we got a caller. Let's take a call. 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, Oshie, I was just trying to figure out what cracker you're talking about because my brother told me he may have heard you mention the name of Taylor Swift, that cracker, female cracker, low-life cracker, non-singing cracker, string bone cracker.
I'll say, that chick's ass, her ass is flatter than day-old beer. I was like, damn. She ain't got no shape.
Just a cracker.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That's all, just a cracker.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oshi, let me ask you this. At any point in time, with your ability to see this cracker for who and what he is, have you ever questioned, is it something wrong with you for feeling this way about the beloved daddy, the white daddy, the no good, stinking, filthy cracker? Could it be that you could be suffering from a form of haterism, jealousy, envy, mad cow disease? You know, could it just be something that is fundamentally wrong with you? Because, you know, in all honesty, Oshi, that's what I think about Negroes who don't understand the cracker.
Well, you know, they Samuel Cartwright said that we had a disease of the mind for trying to run away from slavery. You know, that we had a disease of the mind because we're trying to run away. Because in the European's mind, we were subhuman. In the European's mind, even though, see, European has amnesia. He has selective amnesia. Rightfully so. Because anybody who wants to claim their divinity and their greatness and their superiority over all of humanity has that mindset. And so their beliefs is that nobody did anything of any consequence or note except for themselves. And if there is something that is, you know, monumental, they'll even say that either we did it or we influenced it, you know, or caused it or whatever, because that's how arrogant. I mean, I've proven the arrogance of Europeans by saying that Europe is a continent. It's not a continent by anybody's definition, but by the fact that they can say it. They can say it and use the Caucasus Mountains as a mountain range to separate the eastern part of Europe, Asia, or the eastern part of Asia against the western part of Asia, which they claim as Europe and the European continent. You see, they can do these things. They can claim these things because they have power. And what is power? The ability to define reality. They define the reality. They said, this is the deal. This is the religion. This is the system. This is the economic system. They don't ask nothing from nobody. That's why integration, we never had integration. Because what integration is I have these gifts, you have these gifts, and we bring them together. We integrate them and we share them. Exactly. No, we had assimilation.
Not even with another cracker, if the truth be told.
Exactly.
And think about it. Ain't crackers at war with one another all the time? They at war with one another all the time, and they just straight gangsterize us. They just take whatever they want from us, and so be it.
Right.
The sad thing is that we as a people don't realize this. I was talking with a friend last night in regards to our situation and how things have totally changed from, let's say, the 70s to the day. It first started with heroin, which decimated a lot of our community, and then it went to crack, which totally has destroyed our community, to now it's just a destroyed, non-existent community. And a people that are not producing on the level that they should, but mostly don't have a vision of their African selves going forward. Because we were having a discussion in regards to this race war that's coming about. And what I was trying to say to him is, that other nationalities in this country have some form of protection because they have some place to go to, and that their leaders or so-called leaders of those places will stand up and go into a ruckus in the war. But here it is as Africans, because we haven't not gone back to Africa and identified someplace to build it up. Ain't nobody going to be hooping and hollering or doing the necessary things to protect us if this cracker start to go mad and start hurting us. I mean, you could just look at South Africa and look at what's going on there. Here it is. From my understanding, the ANC was just reelected. Now, they've been in power for over 25 years, and ain't nothing changed, basically. The crackers still own everything, manipulate everything. Just like here in this country, you got a few Negroes who have gained wealth in a so-called position. But the point of the matter is, like I was saying to them, yeah, they may attack other nationalities, but they won't attack them in the manner in which they attack us, and we're not in the position to defend ourselves. And the United States government, if there's going to be that type of situation, is going to address it in regards to the killings of other nationality, because their nation is going to raise hell about it.
And they, as well as they should, but the reality is this. They are in control. They are in a position that they dictate. They don't share shit. They don't.
Nothing.
Nothing. They're all about domination. Death, domination, and destruction. If they can't dominate it.
They're not in the position to be dominated. That's the thing that we don't understand as a people. Whenever you start talking to me about allies and coalitions and all that, first thing I tell you, you effing crazy. Get away from me with that nonsense. Because when you talk it, I just have to say to you, show me. Show me where it exists today. Show me where any type of coalition, allyship, or anything that we have had from the past is sustainable today without the group that was in the so-called coalition and allyship not having a foot in our ass.
You know what was
you can't name it.
What was interesting to me when back in Milwaukee, there were some issues that are affecting our community, but that were also affecting the Latino community. And there were calls for coalitions by the misleadership of both groups, which did not happen. They didn't come out from the police brutality that was happening to us, and we didn't come out because of the immigration issue that was happening with them. Because in reality, there is no coalition with us, with anybody.
There you go.
There isn't. There's nobody that could give less than a rat's ass about what happens to American African people or African people, period, globally.
The proof in the pudding is the increasing power of the Freak Nation, Twisted Sister, Gay Mafia, LGBTQ freaks. They got more power in say-so in this country than indigenous African people. And that should say a whole lot, brother.
Well, that's...
That should say a whole lot. Because anytime one of them freaks come at me with something, I put it on them. I don't play with them. I don't debate with them. I don't argue with them. It's straight savagery. Because I know how you feel about me as a straight black male. I know what you're doing to my community. You understand what I'm saying? But we want to be so nice and pleasant to them sick bastards. And the reason why we in this position is our favorite institution of brainwashing, the pork chop chicken eating institution of religious goddaddyhood. Yeah, yeah. All of these damn churches and mosques. Them are some of the most sickest Negroes in the world who believe in that nonsense called religion. Y'all Negroes are disgusting.
Well, I think the real problem, of course, is the imposition of religion and whose it is. The religions are there for the benefit of those who are in control. You shape and fashion the religion in your image and interest.
And that's why for me, for us to embrace Christianity particularly and Islam is as a detriment. It does not allow you, those religions does not allow you independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. There's nothing in those religions that will lead us to that content. That's why to me,
Go ahead. Hey, listen, you don't even have to have the discussion. Oh, see, all you got to do is say one thing to a religious crackpot nut job. Ask them this one question. How could you accept something from someone that's raping your mother and father and your children? How could you accept something from someone who's murdering you at will in the most beautiful ways possible? How could you accept something from someone that's practicing one thing but having you practicing something else in the same aspect of what it should be? Sky Daddy is a...
You know...
That's the way for me with that nonsense. That don't make sense to me.
Right, because that's like Bobby Wright said. How can a people accept if they didn't give you good clothing, they didn't give you good food, they treated you horribly, but yet now you say they gave you a good religion. They gave you something that will save your soul because you are suffering on this plane, but yet you believe in this, that when you die, you will, you know, go into heaven and be rejoiced. You know?
Well, that's the madness. That's the madness of the Negro pain. That's the madness of Negro pain. It's like we sit up here and we play this game with ourselves that we are equal to this beast because we are supposedly human beings. And we are supposedly created by the same Sky Daddy ism. No, brother. No. No. I'm not the same as that devil.
No.
I'm not the same as him. No way.
No way. Because there's no place on the planet that said or showed that African people imposed themselves on another people to the almost to the extent of eliminating that people and erasing that people.
No, don't say eliminating that people. We'll eliminate the people, but just wasn't able to. And now you're going to have Negro say to you, because it was the Sky Daddy will, that he didn't kill all of us. You know what I mean? Get out of here. Do you know that you would kill all Palestinians if they could get away with it?
Yes. Yes, they would. Know, in fact,
get mad at me when I say that the Jews be toying with the Palestinians. Because in my mindset, I'm going to be honest, if I was a Jew, I would just stop playing with Palestinians and eliminate all of them. Because what they're doing is torturing them. What they're doing to the Palestinian people is just as bad than what the crackers done to us. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, it's worse. Because the Palestinian ain't building nothing for that Jew. Think about it. The Palestinian not building nothing for the Jew. The only reason the cracker treated us, as one would say, slightly indifferent is because we were building this bad boy up for him. And he knew if he killed all of us, his punk ass couldn't build it.
CJ, it's like this. It's hard to come into somebody's home and enslave them, make them work for nothing. That's why it didn't work with the native people. It's their land.
Yes.
Palestine is the land of the Palestinians. So that wasn't going to happen. They had to get rid of them. They brought us here and conditioned us to do what we did and out of a need to survive. Because understand this, that's why I don't use the word slave. Because we were not slaves. We were captives. We were imprisoned. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We resisted then, we're resisting now, and we will resist in the future because innate in us is our willingness to be free African people. At least it appears that way. At least it should appear that way, although there are a lot of us whose minds are captured, whose minds can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that the cracker has put on us, you know. And one of the main things that keeps us in that, this quote again, you dispute facts you don't understand with myths you were forced to believe. This mindset keeps you mentally captive, keeps you mentally enslaved. They can't handle the truth. It's just like the car case. We can't handle the truth. We suffer from cognitive dissonance as well as they do. Because they can't handle the truth. This is like the Caucasian D'Angelo who came up with the idea of Caucasian fragility. They don't want to hear the truth about themselves. They want to believe they're good Christian people. They want to believe that what they did was good for humanity. They want to believe that the things that they have brought.
For humanity?
Say what?
What you said they did that's good for humanity, or they tried to make it seem like they did something good for humanity. What was that?
Not a damn thing. But they want you to believe that. They want you to believe that the religion that they gave the world, the monetary system, the political system, they want you to believe that what Caucasians are and what they've done was a benefit to the world. They want you to believe that who they are is universal. It is universal. And it should be recognized and adhered to. And if it isn't, you got a problem. And they can straighten that problem out by elimination.
Oh, see, I'm just totally sick of the cracker. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we live in a society to where as our people don't understand who and what this cracker is, and ain't trying to understand who and what this cracker is and what he's done. It's just like we don't really want to confront the cracker, honestly. We don't want to let the cracker know that you's a no-good son of a bee. We seem to only want to be in a situation to get along with this devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the devil placed you in a situation where you can't never get along with him. You can't never trust him. You can't really work with him because he's always in a position to try and dominate you and take your creativity from you. Look at all of the inventions that we as African people have created in this world that the cracker has never paid us for.
I mean, not only the inventions, but all the other things. That's why I dealt with this issue of cultural appropriation, trying to help us understand that these crackers had no originality. They steal everything. They want to dominate everything. They want to control everything, you know, because just as Francis Crest Welsing said, when they began to go out and venture out and take people's stuff, they also rape people, rape the women. And the offspring didn't look like them, so it developed an innate feeling of genetic annihilation. So we must have domination and control over everything outside of us. We must have, for our very survival and very existence. And so now what you're seeing, just like what happened in Australia, when Britain took all of its prisoners and threw them over into the island of Australia, into the continent of Australia, and those people began to kill the aborigines or the original inhabitants of Australia. I don't use the word aborigine, but the original inhabitants. And then they took the children and as those children grew, they mated them with Caucasians. And those offsprings of that union were also mated with Caucasians. So they are going to whiten the population and get rid of the darker hue. And because Caucasians are experiencing globally negative population growth, for every two that die, only one is born. And so they see their numbers dwindling. A Caucasian named Ben Wathenberg wrote a book about 20 some years ago, maybe longer, you know, The Decline of the West in Population and Influence. That was his thing. You're a European Jew. And so he's saying that this is going to happen. And so I never read the book. I just seen the title, heard him on TV. I don't give a damn, but I understand where he's coming from. That they understand that we have to do something to maintain control. Now, that doesn't mean, Jay, that they have to be the majority, because they are always in control, even though they're not the majority. They have never been and never will be the majority in South Africa or Namibia, but they run it, don't they? Exactly. And now they're losing the numerical majority here in this country. But what they're going to do is co-opt that. And what they have done is usually give honorary membership into the collective whiteness, i.e. the Japanese, i.e. probably Koreans, South Koreans, i.e. Latinos, because Latinos don't coalesce with us, because they embrace their so-called Spanish side. The people in the Caribbean, just like the Dominican Republic, they don't consider themselves African, even those who look most African, because they've been trained. Right. You see.
You ever see an argument between a Dominican and a Haitian? Let me tell you something. It's one of the funniest effing things in this world, the way they talk about one another. And you just have to stand there and ask yourself, are you in a damn Twilight Zone with these two characters, because one speaks French and the other one speaks Babalooism.
Yep.
I mean, it's just amazing, because I used to work with them, and man, they hated each other. Oh man, and they used to go at it, because you know they next door to each other.
Right.
Whoa,
right, and man, I know the history.
The Haitian is really out of control. What he want to be, because he's a super duper sky daddy loving Christian. I remember the time I had to knock one out because I told him, you can't raise your voice at me like that, man. Oh, man, this cat, Oshie, whenever he got annoyed or something like that, he would just start yelling and ranting and raving, because that's how he talked to the other Haitians on the job. And he was like the oldest, in a sense, Haitian, and he was their so-called leader. So the cat, you know, would just get out of control. Mm. And I had to tell him a couple of times, look, my man, you can't talk to me like that, because I'm not one of those dudes that's going to let you talk to me like that. I told him, you got one or two more times to talk to me like that, and if you do, I'm gonna tap your chin. And then one day we was in the lunchroom, it was just me and him.
And
I turned on the TV, and he said, I'm in here studying, because he was a pork chop chicken eater. He said, I'm in here studying, preparing my sermon. I said, well, sir, this is a break room. I have a right to, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Turn the TV on. Okay. Yo, my man, all I can tell you is this. He started raising his voice, and he cussed at me. And there was nobody in the room. I lit that old ass up. I gave him a body shot, and then one to the head, and then another body shot. And it was, and I told him, you lucky I'm going to stop at it now, because you about to get it. Do you know, anytime I came into a room and there was nobody in the room, he would leave out of the room? Mm. Do you know that man was absolutely scared to death? They called me in the office, and they asked me what happened. I told him, I don't know what he's talking about. And there was no witnesses.
That's right.
And the funny thing was, after that, the Dominicans love me, and all of the Haitians hate my guts. And I didn't even give a damn, because I told him. And you know what the funny thing was, Oshie? He made the mistake and raised his voice again to me. And I was ready to drop him again, and somebody said, please, please don't do it. Yeah. Please Wait, the woman started, and yo, Oshie, I tell you, don't lie, the woman started crying, man, and I caught myself, because I was just gonna, I was gonna light him up again, because I told him, if you ever speak to me like that again, I'm lighting you up. And the woman just, the woman knew it was coming.
Uh-huh.
And she just started begging and crying and what you call it. And you know something, to tell you the truth, I felt bad about it. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
I felt bad about it because of the simple fact, you know, you hate to see a woman in that situation. And I mean, hey, she, you know, it is what it is. But sometimes we're in situations where we're different as far as cultures and nationality, and we act and behave in a fashion like we better than
right.
your brother and your sister, because that's what that white man done gave you that illusion to be. Because I noticed that on the job, the white man would treat the Dominican one way, he would treat the Haitian one way, he would treat the Puerto Rican one way, and he would treat the black one way,
mm-hmm.
and there was really no whites on the job, so he didn't treat them no damn way. You know what I mean? And I just realized, man, that, you know, we can't have any type of coalition, honestly, because not only the way that we treat each other, but the way that we manipulated by the white man mm-hmm. to keep us divided, because he tries to make the other one think and feel that he's better than the next
right.
one.
Well, that was always his, that's always his divine, it's always his the desired method of divide and conquer. Keep, it was just like us even to this day. You know, Africans on the continent feel they are better than Africans in the diaspora, particularly African Americans. You know, although they want to be here, believe me, they would love to come to America. But African Americans, American Africans, feel they're better than Africans because we're here and we had a special situation. And of course, how modern America is and all the other social amenities that America has, so we feel that we're better. We live in a better environment. We, you know, even the poor among us is a better situation than what it might be on the continent. And that is true.
I tell you, the thing I enjoy the most, Oshie, is when I meet an African from the continent that's come here to achieve whatever he wants to achieve and he want to go back home. That always makes me feel good. I love when I talk to guys and they talk about, well, I've been in here in America for a long period of time, but I go back home every year because I'm setting up business there. I have business and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel good to know that there's brothers and sisters that are in that situation, because, you know, a lot of Africans that have been here for a while, that in New York, that have been into the taxi business, are now suffering real bad, man.
Yeah.
Because the taxi industry in New York is totally destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a brother this week that I, you know, that I got into the cab with, and he was talking about he can't pay his insurance.
Right.
He can't fix his car. Yeah.
See,
he got fines and all of this, man. And it breaks your heart because someone who drove a cab for a long period of time and limousines and all of that for a long period of time, I understand what that happened. In the last 5 or 6 years, you've had situations where a medallion was worth $1 million. Now you could get one for $100,000.
Wow.
Cash. Because the what you call them, the banking industry, is not going to give you no money for cash.
Mm-hmm.
You got guys committing suicide.
You got them committing suicide, man.
I had a friend of mine that paid $550,000 for a medallion. I think it was 8 or 9 years ago. He had to file for bankruptcy because
mm-hmm.
he can't make the payments no more.
Yeah.
And there was a time when you could make those payments because you didn't have this Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing is, the city never did anything to protect the drivers.
And look what's happening now. Right. And look what's happening now. See, you know, this whole idea of artificial intelligence and all of the automation and stuff, I resent it. Because I fly a lot of times Southwest and I have to go to their kiosks to get to punch that stuff in before I go to the lady at the counter to check my bag and whatever, you know. Because otherwise, I wouldn't do it. I'll wait in line at the supermarket. I don't go to any kiosk. I don't go to self-checkout.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know?
And I tell anybody, here it is. You go to that automated nonsense. That's taking a job from somebody. You know what I mean? But we don't understand that. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it's so bad in the taxi industry, OC, that people can't even get tips no more. Because once you go past a certain point, they hit you with a $2.50 surcharge. So whereby that $2.50 surcharge that they was giving you or they taking from you was the tip that you was probably gonna get.
Right.
So now you busting your behind and you don't have really nothing to show for it. You working 10, 12 hours a day. And after you pay all your expenses, you lucky, yeah. Listen to me, Oakley, you lucky to have $100 in your pocket.
Wow.
It's bad, bro. I know so many guys, man, that are struggling, man, that anytime a white man gotta treat you better than he treated you before and begged you to work for him, you know something is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they had one guy who had hundreds of cabs worth millions and millions of dollars, lost everything.
Yeah.
So
and see what I'm saying with this automation. It's just like you too, Jay. I appreciate you, man. You have a great weekend and enjoy the time with family and friends. All right, brother? All right.
And it's a shame Franklin Jones Matrix show is not coming on today because it's thoroughly entertaining. I enjoy how the brother can go and talk in the manner and say the things that he do. For 2 hours. I mean, he don't have your type of stamina because he can't do it for 3 days. But he's doing a heck of a job for two. Hotel OC.
All right, dude. Peace, brother. Peace. We have one more caller. Go ahead. 404. Go ahead. Good afternoon.
That could have been me calling in, Oshie, to say hello, brother. This is Brother Richard.
Oh, hey, man. How you doing, Brother Richard? I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
I'm all right. I can't never get my timing in order. I said, hey, let me call the brother and at least say hello.
Well, thank you, man. Yeah, because this is the end of the program, man. But check me out on Monday, okay?
Okay. Anything special coming up this weekend?
No, at Cafe Ulu, we got a Mother's Day program that I can remember. There was something coming up, and I forgot what it was that I wanted to check out, so... slipped my mind, check out Cafe Ool if you can. All right, Brother Richard, appreciate you, man.
All right, brother, good to talk to you.
Hotel.
All
right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor, the Caucasian, the European, the Urugu, the cracker, ain't heard this word in a long time, the hunky. The oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do it out and they don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers and sisters, stay blessed. Abibi Fahorio. Abibi Fahorio means our victorious destiny, and we will be. Assuredly. Peace, family. Have a great weekend.